As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, here we go, 9:09. It is draft day, also day one of Jazz Fest. And I want to give you, before we go to Mike Dettelier, the code word for this hour. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is Gentilly. Is that easy? Just go to wwl.com/contest, register to win. The code word is Gentilly. And you listen at 9, noon, 3, and 6 for the Jazz Fest code word of the day. See amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Lenny Kravitz, Cage the Elephant, Santana, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and more. These tickets are for next weekend. Good luck. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest. And WWL, the code word is Gentilly. Now we are joined by Mike Dettelier to talk about the draft 2025. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Tommy.
Michael, you used, and you still do, you used to live and breathe and publish the draft guide and so forth. Are you still as into it as you were then when you were publishing the guide?
Tommy, I would say even more. I don't have to deal with printing or printers and mails in the Postal Service today. But I do everything the same as I did before. Yesterday, because I wondered a little bit once I stopped, because I did it for 37 years, and this is year 40 for me. So I wondered, you know, would I have all this? Yesterday I did 14 shows, not including my own, for 2 hours. So, yeah, I would say, yeah, it's pretty busy. But I do everything that I did before when I put the book out, other than edited it. And that, because if I really printed everything I wrote, instead of the draft book being close to 200 pages, it'd be close to 2,000 pages, because I have a lot of writings on there. So it is. But yeah, to answer the question, it's every bit as much. I handle it a little differently. I think earlier on, I didn't probably handle the onslaught as well. But I do much better at that today.
Mike, when it comes to, you know, every draft day, I think of you. And I think of the phrase you taught me about, you can't fall in love with a player. And unfortunately, even though that's common knowledge or should be in the NFL, it still happens, doesn't it?
And for every team, because I have friends of mine that are in the business, they're scouts, or now they're, I have a few of them that are director of college scouting people, and sort of they double check. Some of them don't scout necessarily the South or Southeast Conference. They maybe are Big Ten or Big East or ACC or Pac-12 people, and they, you know, they'll talk to me about a player that they have a certain interest in. And they'll always tell me, you know, my GM has fallen in love with a certain player. Mm-hmm. My coach has fallen in love with a certain player. And then the dreaded one, my owner has fallen in love with a certain player. And, you know, so you do all of this work and you piece it together and it's costing you hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to over millions of dollars in work. And it comes down to the decision of an owner, of a GM, of a head coach.
And that's what that's what I wanted to drill down on, because we all do it, right? Whether it's buying a house or
all
a car,
you
put logic and you do everything you can, and all of a sudden, sometimes you just throw it all away and make an emotional decision.
Yeah, and the worst decision we all make in life is when we think it's a desperation decision. Mm-hmm. That we put in sort of a bind to make a decision. It's not the decision we have a little bit of time to think about. And I always think of this when I do the draft book and do, you know, everybody wants, they want you to do a mock draft for them. I do two. I do one in February after the Super Bowl, and I do one like I did over the weekend. Other than that, that's it for me. I'm not doing it. My first impression has always led me in the right direction. You're never going to be perfect. You're always going to miss, because you can't gauge how well that player fits with that particular team. There's only, I would say, every year, five or six players, no matter where they ended up, their production would be the same. Everybody else is about fit, where they go to, who they're surrounded by, which coach they're around. And you can't gauge that if you're doing it independently like what I do. So there's a lot of room for error, and you make them. And some guys that you think are going to be really good don't turn out to be that good, and you have someone whose production it may be kind of varied, and all of a sudden something clicks, and it works. A great example, and he's in this draft class, is Braden Swenson from LSU. Fairly highly recruited player coming out of the Georgia high school ranks, goes to Oregon, does virtually nothing there, transfers to LSU. And they brought him in based off of what they saw in the high school tape, that he was a good high school player. For 1 year at LSU, did nothing. Last year, he was one of the top quarterback sack artists and tackle for losses guy in the country. Something clicked in him. And so when I told this to Pete Jenkins, all of 83 years old, Pete had helped coach the LSU defensive line the year before. He was like, "Are you sure you got the name right?" I'm like, "Yeah, coach, that's one thing I do know about the name." And he was like, "Mike, I didn't see it." And all of a sudden it clicked. He won't get picked tonight, but he'll get picked tomorrow. He went, Tommy, from basically an unknown, maybe free agent signee, to being a day two pick in the draft in 1 year.
Mm. Let's talk
about. It goes
about
to show you never know when that lightning strike hits for a player, and everything works for him. Everything comes together for him. And don't we see that too in our personal lives with people, mm-hmm. that, you know, we see they have potential to be really good at something, and they bounce from job to job to job to job. And then all of a sudden they hit one job and everything works for them.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to like falling in love with a player and emotion overruling logic or study or anything, is it a case of if you study long, you study wrong, where sometimes you can overthink it and talk yourself out of, like you talked about going with your first instinct?
Tommy, I fight that myself, that sometimes I go back and look at something. I think my first impression is always the correct one about a player. And so I try not to overemphasize something, because then I start looking for something wrong instead of what he can do to help me. And that guy, I end up making a mistake in evaluating with. And you're right. Sometimes it's over evaluation. You kind of stimulate your brain so much about something that either it's one way or another. Either you fall out of love with him or you fall in love with him. And you got to be careful with that, okay? You got to kind of take that step back and say, okay, what was my first thought on him? And this is what I tell young scouts in this business, that always go back to after the end of the season and what your evaluation is on that player. Because a lot of times you get manipulated by what happens at a workout, combine, maybe an all-star game. Go back and look at that guy and what you thought of him after the season, after he's played games. Not in this stuff of pajamas and slippers, okay? Because that's how you can really get fooled. You fall in love with the athlete. And Jim Finks told me this back in 1987. So I was just a young puppy in this scouting business. He was like, hey, kid, you got talent, but I'm going to give you some advice. Don't fall in love with the athlete. Mm-hmm. Fall in love with the football player.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a break. We come back. I want to ask you about a couple of different things. First of all, along those lines, who is the top three football players in the draft this year? Top three football players. We also have to look at it through the Saints' glasses of who do they need and who would best fit the needs that they have, and have a lot of them. And then there's a lot of stuff going on social media about the Saints making calls about potentially sliding back slightly from 9 to acquire additional draft capital, and then thinking they're going to use those extra picks to trade back into the late first round to get a quarterback that's being quoted and re-quoted. But this time of day with the draft and everything else, a lot of stuff's going to get quoted and re-quoted, which may or may not be true. Talking to Mike to tell you about the draft. Y'all got any questions, 504-260-1870. Our coverage starts today at 4 o'clock. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, Saints Draft Preview Show. Head coach Kellen Moore, GM Mickey Loomis, offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier, Brandon Staley, the DC, associate head coach, running backs coach Joel Thomas, senior assistant GM, vice president of college personnel Jeff Ireland, Michael Parenton, vice president of pro personnel, special teams coordinator Phil Galliano, national scout Terry Wooden, and defensive pass coordinator Terry Joseph. Proud graduate of Shaw, thank you. And then a Saints draft preview today from 4 till 6. That's followed by the Black and Gold Draft Show presented by Flight Yingling, the next generation of light beer, live from 504 Golf and Entertainment, 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Going to be an exciting show, exciting draft. Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller, also Deuce Haas, Jeff Nowak. Hear it all on Saints Radio today, tomorrow, and Saturday on WWLAMFM.com. And the free Odyssey app. Back with Mike Dettillier in a second. False start is no way to start. Anxious to get back to Mike Dettillier. It's Merry Draftmas. Today's the Saints draft. Mike, before we get to some other questions, in terms of the importance to the franchise, because we all talk about opening day or playoff games, this, that, the other thing, how important on a scale of 1 to 10 is today when it comes to the future of the Saints?
I think for the weekend, it's 8 or 9.
Yeah, weekend, not today. I shouldn't make it. I'm going back to the old days.
I think it's paramount because you are, they don't want to tell you this, but it's true. They are in a transition of players. You have a fairly older roster here. And so you win in this league with a group of really talented young men. You can have the occasional veteran in the group. And when you're winning, you can add maybe a veteran here or there. But you win via the draft. It's more important today than it ever has been because of the fact of the money it costs you to play in free agency. The draft gives you football players at football minimum wage. So you get them cheaper, younger, and they're hungry. Every one of them, this means something to them. They have waited their entire life for this opportunity to play pro football, which there's less than 2,000 people in this world that do it. Think how unique that is. in any profession that they're one of 2,000 to play this game. And, you know, I hear, well, football players don't care no more. Yeah, they care. It's, you know, maybe somebody else gets a little bit troubled because of their money, of what they make. But do we say that about a doctor or a lawyer or anybody else? Most likely not. But it is because of athletes, they get thrown into that deal. So it's super important for this franchise to get younger, to get better players. And this team has a lot of holes. It's not just one or two. It's all across the board. You could name me a spot and you could put a check mark that they need help. Now, the front office coaching staff won't tell you that. They, you know, that's not their job. Mm-hmm. But it is the truth. They need help at virtually every position out on that field. So it's paramount the next 3 days to really hit big.
You know, you talk about that with the collective bargaining agreement, and that just really hit home when you said that, because you're getting them at their youngest, at their hungriest, hopefully at their healthiest, right, at the best points in their career, although they may not peak, but you do have them at the great time when you're paying them the least. That's the way the CBA works.
Correct. And Zach used to always tell me this. Once he was retired and working for us at WWL, and then when he became a coach, he's like, Mike, you know, I understand the CBA stuff, but, you know, it's a detriment to the young player. Because he was talking to me about a couple of young offensive linemen he liked, and he said they get about 20% of the reps that I got as a true rookie. He said about 20. He said, you know, I got a ton of reps as a rookie, and it made me a better player because I was able to get on the field and actually perform. It wasn't the stimulation or hitting a dummy bag or whatever. I was actually going up against someone. And he said, I understand they want to protect the player and you want to have them for the longer season, but their development, it's going to take a little longer for the big men. And I remember Zach telling me that, and I think he is absolutely right with this new agreement. It really hurts because you can practice pitch and catch. You can practice throwing a football, catching a football. But if you're an offensive and defensive lineman, where are you going to practice going up against somebody one-on-one?
Well, and the other thing, that the average length of a career in the NFL is 3.3 years, which means a lot of guys never get to that free agent point, right, to get paid in that fourth year of the contract or the fifth year.
Yeah, because that still for a lot of guys, and, you know, they'll contact me about, well, where do you think I'll go in the draft? And I'll always give them an assessment. I never tell them to come back or stay. That's their decision. Mm-hmm. But I'll give them what I think, where they're going to end up in the draft. And I can tell by the way they talk to me if they're going to come out or not. Because it's almost like a gambler wanting somebody else to say, okay, who's your pick this week? Okay, that's who I like too. I think a lot of times players – understand if I come out early, I'm 1 year closer to the second contract, which is my big contract. But I got to get to that point.
We can't ignore what's going on with Derek Carr, the shoulder injury, that whole drama playing out with the draft happening today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and the availability of quarterbacks, the NFL rumors I'm telling you about. And look, today is rumor day, right? It's National Rumor Day. Who knows what's true, what's not? But how do you see the Saints addressing the quarterback situation?
I would not pick a quarterback at 9. There's only one guy that I would pick with a top 10 quarterback selection, and that's Cam Ward, and he'll go number 1 overall. Mm-hmm. I would not pick any other player in this draft class with a top 10 pick at quarterback. I think you have to hold true to your board, and you got to be able to pick the best fit player at that spot. And not everybody's for you. You know, not everybody is the same. So you got to pick what's best for you. But I don't see a quarterback there. I think what happens is they pick a big man early with a top, if they keep that 9th overall pick. That's what they do. They pick a big man. If it's a big man receiver, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, that's what they do. And then I think they try to make a maneuver to get back in late in round one or very early in round two to get a quarterback. And this will tell you what Kellen Moore thinks of a player. It's his first major decision of which young quarterback that he has picked out that he really likes. You didn't bring Kellen Moore, and he didn't hire Nussmeier and Scott Tolzien, all three former quarterbacks, to just watch. This is a big part of the future for this franchise, of finding a quarterback that will eventually, if it's this year or in 2026, be the starter for your football team. So I think they make a maneuver either jumping up into round one, which gets you a fifth-year option, that is a financial move, or jumping up into round two early to get you a quarterback.
So we talked earlier about falling in love with players, and it seems as though a lot of people have fallen in love with Shedeur Sanders, and I'm not sure that that's justified. Thoughts?
I think that there's a mixed opinion, quite a bit of mixed opinion on Shedeur Sanders. My thing is, what I see, he's an accurate quarterback. He has run a system with four different offensive coordinators in 4 years. You talk about being able to process, he can process it. And also, he's handled the pressure of being Deion Sanders' son. I mean, listen, people don't understand, oh, well, you know, he grew up. That part is true. But man,
you know what? Make it Jack Nicklaus's son. Make it that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Or be the son of Archie Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got the grandson of Archie Manning playing in college football. And so that's a lot of pressure put on you for that. And I know he doesn't want to talk about it, but he realizes that there's a lot of shine put on him, a lot of light put on him when you're in that position. There's a lot of mixed opinion on Shedeur Sanders on what people think of him as a starting quarterback at the NFL level. For him, he's really the fit guy, because that's where a certain...
What does that mean, the fit guy? What do you mean?
He is going to have to fit a certain system, and you're going to have a coach that is willing to kind of tweak maybe what he thinks is best for what's best for Sanders.
All right, is Kellen Moore that guy? Is Shedeur Sanders a fit here?
And see, that part is the unknown with Kellen. We don't know, because if you go back, he's had Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. Okay, that's three totally different quarterbacks that he's dealt with. And so is Shedeur Sanders his guy? Or is it Jackson Dart from Ole Miss? Or is it Jalen Milroe from Alabama? So that part is the unknown. None of us know exactly who Kellen Moore really wants to be his next quarterback.
Right.
And so that's where the part about what makes it drama is that you really don't know of what a young coach and a first-year coach really runs through his head on it. That's the guy I think can run my franchise for the next 10, 12 years.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with who starts a quarterback for the Saints next year. Mike Dettelier, our guest, talking about the draft, and there's so many different questions and angles and on this. If you've got any questions, by the way, you can text them in the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and text line, 504-260-1870. And also, when it comes to big man, if they draft a big man, it's going to be on the offensive or defensive side of the football, and we'll get some names from Mike Dettelier as well. 938, 22 till 10, traffic, WWL. 9:44, 16 till 10. Mike, I was just talking to Diane Newman. Back in the day when the draft was one day, we had Draft Fest out at the Saints facility. Man, that was a party, but it ain't that way anymore. Y'all are going to be at 504 Golf tonight. Are y'all going to be, do you know, at a stall or something, or in the hallway? Are you going to bring the clubs? What are you doing?
That I'm not sure. Only thing I know is my son-in-law and Luke Augusta, who's our producer guy and technical guy, he told me, man, Mike, you're going to like it here at 504 Golf. And so,
bring the clubs. So,
I'm not real sure.
Hit a couple of 7-irons during commercial breaks. Let's talk about the big man you said that they might pick. You're talking about offensive line, defensive line? Give me some names.
I think on offense, the big man receiver I'm talking about is Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. We had Rich Morty on, and I know every week Rich and I and Bobby, we do a TV show out in Houma, and Rich would say, man, Mike, this guy, he's unbelievable. And we're doing a pregame show for LSU, me and Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, and we're watching Penn State play USC. And I think in that game, he caught 15 passes. After the 11th pass, Herb tells me, Mike, somebody better cover 44. And he was either double covered or bracketed every play, and he made the catch. Mm. He's a former high school quarterback. They brought him in. They didn't know exactly where they were going to play him because they thought maybe fullback, halfback, H-back, tight end, wide receiver. He's been a deep snapper. He's played as a wildcat quarterback. And he caught over 100 passes last year. There have been games that Penn State played. The receivers caught 2 or less passes in a game in 7 of the games they played. He was the offense. Mm. And you knew it and couldn't stop him. He was that good.
6'6", 260. So, he's not just an athlete, but a football player, right?
He's a football player from Mechanicsville, Virginia. Mm. Man, you couldn't write a better script, right, for a football player, Mechanicsville, Virginia. And he's bad to the bone. And when he catches it, okay, yeah, he's not the speediest guy around, but, man, he runs you over and then run past you. There's a lot in him similar to George Kittle, who plays with the 49ers, who's really one of the best in the game today. There's a lot of similarities between the two. On the defensive side, the football, two guys I really like. And I don't think Jalen Walker is going to be there, the linebacker from Georgia. I think he's going to go ahead. He would be one of the top three, what I would say, football players in this draft class. He plays 2 downs. He's linebacker on 3rd down. You put him on the edge, say, hey, sick him. Go get the quarterback. His teammate, Mykel Williams, who he played the big edge at Georgia. He's 6'5 and change. He's 260 pounds. What impressed me last year, he had a high ankle sprain. He could have said, man, this will hurt me to put on maybe not the best tape because I'm only really playing on 1.5 here. And he played every game. Every game, and he gave it every game. He gave you what he had. And he's got some pressure and pressure points and technical skills that are really good. And I think the one thing you'll see change with this football team is their body types for linebacker. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to play any hybrid version of the 3-4 linebacker position, they're going to look a little different. It's going to look a little different body type wise. So that's a couple of them. I'd love to see Will Campbell from LSU there. I don't think Will be there. I think he'll get selected in the draft. And so we'll see
Kelvin
what happens
Banks.
There. Kelvin Banks Jr. This is why the offseason's bad on Kelvin. He's not the greatest athlete in the world. He's a football player. Mm-hmm. He's a really good football player. And you can get caught up with, oh, well, he doesn't run the fastest 40 or he doesn't lift the weights like he should. But who cares? He can play. It's the same stupidity that I hear from these analytical nerds of the world that want to tell you Will Campbell can't play left tackle because, oh, he don't have these huge long arms. I never heard one word from him when he was playing at LSU. But now that's all you read. Kelvin Banks is not the greatest athlete, but, man, can he play football. He is a big, wide man, powerful, and he needs a little bit of work with his footwork. That's something that I notice on tape. He sometimes crisscrosses his feet, and he'll get tangled. But, man, he's got long arms, and he can reach you and steer you out to the edge. So he's a guy that I think now people are coming into play that if you just looked at him as a football player, he'd be a top 12 pick. But I think sometimes people got caught up in the numbers that he didn't run as fast as I thought he'd run, didn't lift as much weights as I thought he would, you know, lift. Yeah. To me, so what? You falling in love with the athlete, you forgetting, can he play football?
So looking at that crystal ball, the Detailier crystal ball that you keep in the mahogany case with the blue, purple velvet bag and the foam and all of that stuff, peer into it and tell me how the day plays out.
I've done this since February, and I put the saddle on Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, until I get thrown, I'm going to run with Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State.
And you think that would be the thing, given the personnel available, the Saints situation, the tight end pick would be the one to make?
Yeah, because not only can he help me in the passing game, of all the tight ends that will get picked early, he's the best inline blocker. So he can also help me in the running game. He, you know, because I think a lot of times you see a guy get pressure and you say, oh, which lineman messed up there? And it's really not the lineman. It's really the tight end or the running back. He missed the block. When you watch Penn State, they had a dual backfield. They ran a lot toward Tyler Warren's side of the field because of the fact that he was a good inline blocker. You know, and he's built for it. He's no small cat by any stretch of the imagination. And it's just his focus about doing everything. And he thrives off perfection. And you can say, well, that's bad. You're never perfect. You're never perfect. But if you strive for it, you're going to hit greatness a lot of times.
If you had to guess, who's going to start a quarterback for the Saints next year?
Man, if you'd asked me that a month ago, I'd have said Derek Carr in a heartbeat. Today, and, you know, I said this once, you know, of the season ended, that there were certain indications that Derek did not want to be here. One, he moved his family back to California. Secondly, Super Bowl week, you know, you're highlighting the city. Like it or not, you are the face of the franchise as a quarterback here. He was nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Isn't he telling you without telling you, I don't really want to be here? Then who leaks that information out to a national source that, oh, my shoulder's kind of bothering me a little bit. You know, I'm looking at maybe having surgery. Come on, that's not the Saints doing that. That's Derek Carr's people doing that. So now he's basically pushed every chip in the middle of the kind of table to say, hey, get rid of me after June 1st. Cut me loose. I'm going to go play somewhere else. You bothered because you're a bridge quarterback only for a year? There's a lot of guys out there would like to be a bridge guy for $40 million. Mm-hmm. But how you restructure this deal, you basically guaranteed him that money if he plays or he don't.
Thank you, Michael. We'll be listening this afternoon all weekend long. Our coverage starts at 4 o'clock. A big day in the history of the Saints. 2025 draft preview show starts with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas at 4 o'clock, then picks up with the draft show at 6 o'clock. You can go out and join them at 504 Golf and Entertainment, 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Mike's going to be there, Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Deuce Haas, Jeff Nowak, and the whole gang. So have some fun. Get out there and enjoy it. We'll see how it plays out. 9:54, 6 till 10. We'll see what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.